Well, hello and good afternoon. You are with me, Rona Cullen. Hope you're in great form. And yeah, I know you're wondering where our theme song has gone for today, but my own fault. I've misplaced it. And I know, big faux pas on my part. So I'm going to give you a little tune. Something inside so strong. Okay, so you got a little bit of a taster of the theme tune of the song. Good afternoon. Hope you're well. It's lovely to be with you again. It's 3:30 and great music, great guests on the programme today. If you want to get in contact, you can do so on 087-6944-500. As I say, lots of great guests on the programme today. We've got Owen Cullum, who is the chairman of Greater Dublin Independent Living. And he's going to be speaking to me a little later on about direct payments and the direct payment scheme. He's heavily involved in it himself. It's a pilot scheme still. And he'll be telling me a little bit more about that later on in the programme. Also, I've got Emma McCarthy on the show from Cork, who has a visual impairment since birth. And I'm going to be chatting to her about all things work, education, fun, hobbies and life living with visual impairment. And also, I've got Mary Hart from Spoken Dance, because GDIL this evening is running an integrated dance workshop in the Macro Centre from half past eight. Excuse me. So Mary Hart is going to be with me in the studio chatting about that as well. Now, before I do anything else, congratulations to Near FM, because they are outstanding here in the radio station, because they've won themselves two Crail Awards from the weekend with Frank Hart, A Life in Song, and Week in Review also won an award as well. So congratulations to everybody involved in those two programmes, because it's an outstanding achievement, and well done to everybody in Cork and Youghal at Community Radio Youghal who held the event as well, and Crail of course, and the Broadcast Authority of Ireland as well, of course, were there as well, all in conjunction with each other and ourselves of course here in Near FM as well. So well done to Frank Hart, A Life in Song, to everybody on that programme, documentary style programme on the life of Frank Hart, and of course Week in Review as well. Outstanding. I'm absolutely delighted for everybody here, and well deserved, because you know what, it is a fantastic radio station here in Near FM with fantastic employees and volunteers, so it only deserves the very, very best. And it's nice to know that the rewards were reaped at the weekend from the Fail Awards at the weekend in Youghal. So congratulations to everybody there, and it was a really, really good weekend. I was there myself and it was great fun indeed. But anyway, here's some music for you here on Near FM. That was a beautiful sound there of Ellie Goulding and How Long Will I Love You. Absolutely love that song. You are listening to a Perceptions, and it is me, Rona Coughlin, with you until 4:30. Now, joining me by phone and hailing from Cork is Emer McCarthy. Hi, Emer. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Good. It's lovely to talk to you. Are you well?
I am.
Good, good, good. Emer, let's start at the very beginning, because it's, you know, it's a very good place to start. So you have a visual impairment since birth. Tell me about what it was like growing up with a visual impairment.
It was good, but the only part, I didn't like going to Dublin before until 17, you know, because it was very young for me and things like that. So it means I had to leave my family behind me and stuff like that.
So you lived in Dublin and were boarding in Dublin going to school. Tell me about that experience. What was that like?
It made me very independent and stuff like that. And I made good friends, but I wasn't gone to be a board, to be honest, you know.
Why?
Because I wanted to be a day people going home every evening and stuff like that, you know.
And did you get to go home, Emer, very often?
I went home every weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
And did you travel alone at the beginning, or with family coming up to support you and bring you home?
I travelled up and down with my sisters until I got older, and after that then I went up and down by myself then after.
And so what age were you when you started travelling up and down by yourself?
Nine years old.
My God, you know? That must have been very challenging, was it?
But I didn't like it at all, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't, you know.
Yeah. But as you said, it made you very, very independent.
It did, you know.
And so tell me about then your experience of school in Dublin. What was the school like and what things did you do in school?
I learned Braille. That would be on a Braille machine and things like that. I liked that, but I found reading the Braille very hard and stuff like that because there were so many letters and dots and things like that. And I learned history and geography and cookery.
Fantastic. And so you left school then at 17. And what happened then when you got back down to Cork?
I went to Caritas Training Centre. It's a training centre to help people to learn skills and things like that.
Okay. So, and what was that like?
I really loved it.
Did you? Why?
Because I loved doing the reception.
Yeah.
I loved the computers. I love the catering and I love learning units in history. That would be English and spellings and that.
And so in the last, because from you and I speaking, you've had a various different works and different trainings and different work placements. What has been your favourite work placement to date?
The guide out for the blind. College, you know.
Did you love doing that?
Loved it.
And what did that involve, Emer?
Answering the phones and taking messages and helping people when they come in and all that.
That's fantastic. And was that a very, very enjoyable experience?
Loved it, yes.
Yeah.
It gave me the feel of what working is like and things like that. And working in a new office, a nice different switchboard and that.
And then when did you start doing some work with Rehab Care?
2007.
And so you've been with Rehab Care since?
Yes, that's right, yes.
And how has that been?
I really love it.
Yeah?
Because I did the shelter workshop. That would be involved putting the pouches into envelopes and things like that.
Yeah.
Putting the inserts on the boards and putting stuff in the cardboard. But then the shelter workshop then came to a close because it's due to funding conditions, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but you're still working there still?
That's right, yes.
And so you're still doing reception and all that area?
That's right, yes.
Still loving it?
Oh, delighted with it. Love it. And even to meet people every day and, you know, even just have somewhere to go in the morning and things like that.
Yeah.
And something to get up on, that really, you know.
Very important, isn't it?
It is, really. And I suppose, really, just to show that you're independent and you're helping yourself a bit more.
And do you feel, Emer, that you've got a high quality of an independent life?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah. And do you feel you have the right supports in place?
I do.
Yeah. And what supports do you have in place for yourself, Emer?
We have care here in Douglas and Cork. I have the hostel where I'm living in. And I have the Centre of Independent Living too.
Now talk to me about where you're living independently. Tell me about that living setting.
I live in Grange in Cork with two other girls and I really love it. And I go starting swimming tonight in Leisure Wellness in Bishopstown.
Excellent.
With the National Council for the Blind and I'm really loving it.
And how long have you been living in this apartment with the other two ladies?
17 years.
17 years, is it? Okay, and what was that like day one? You know, when you started that process off when you were 17, what was that like?
It was hard because it was a new world and I was moving down to Cork.
Yeah.
And I had to leave all my friends behind me and they were all going on to different, you know, lives, going to college and training centres and that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. And so you have support in the house with you.
And
tell me about that support.
Oh, the support is brilliant. The staff are very good to me. And I get on brilliant with them and stuff like that. And they said I'm very good to help out, you know, with the job. Dishwasher, doing the messages and emptying out the bins and making sure the place is tidy and that.
Yeah. So you're living with the other two girls and you were telling me the other day you've a house mother as well?
That's right.
And how does the house mother then support you?
Oh, she helps me there to go to the bank and that. and she helps me to go shopping and stuff like that, you know.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah. How, what's it like living independently?
Delighted, because even to have your own independence, and that's what people can call as you want, because if you're at home, you have to ask your mum, can people call you and stuff like that, and you have to okay with them and that. You know?
I know. You've to cross everything with the parents when you're living at home.
You know, you do, yeah, you do, mm. You do, you know.
So to have your own space and your own sense of freedom is a vital thing. Now, talk to me about the water sports that you've been doing, Eimear, and that you did before.
Right, okay. I did water skiing in Inniskillen.
You did water skiing?
Yes. Yeah.
Right.
What I did now, I put my legs in the skis, you see.
Yeah.
And they put the bar against me. So I skied in the skis and I really loved it, you know.
Amazing. Was it an incredible experience?
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. That.
Excellent. Yeah, you know? Excellent. And so, Eimear, what's the plan now? What would you like to be doing now moving forward? What does the future hold for you?
I'd like to do my reception duties here in rehab care.
Yeah.
And do my wash up for the penny dinners for the homeless people.
Oh yeah, you were saying, actually, Eimear, that's important. You were saying you were doing some work with penny dinners as well in Cork.
That's right.
And you're heavily involved in that, are you?
Oh, yeah, every second Friday. And, you know, they're very good to me and everything. And, you know, they're very happy with me and everything's great.
Excellent. And you're happy?
Oh, delighted with that. Delighted with that.
That's wonderful. Eimear, what advice would you give to somebody who has a visual impairment now, who would like to be more independent and who would have fears around it? Let's say in terms of living independently in their own place, what advice would you give them?
What I would advise really is ask them to, I suppose, to write to their social worker and ask them could they get a hostel, because they get brilliant support and stuff like that. Because living out in a flat on your own, it's very hard, particularly for even bills and things like that, or if you got sick, things like that, really, you know.
And what about doing some work and training? What advice would you give there?
I would advise, if they want to do mobility training, would get on to the National Council for the Blind in Cork. They would provide mobility training. That would be long-term training. And they would do some mobility with you and stuff like that, of getting the buses and doing foot tasks with you and things like that.
And Eimear, what do you think has been the most challenging thing for you growing up around your visual impairment? What have been the hardest challenges?
Getting the bus. Rehab first was very hard.
Getting the bus.
Kind of, and things like that, you know.
Okay. And why was that so difficult?
Because I had to learn the route, the bus stop, and I had to count steps and things like that, you know.
And how do you find people's attitude towards people who are visually impaired?
The bus drivers now, and the bus are very good to me, and they keep a seat, and they're very good.
Okay. You know? And what about other people besides bus drivers? How have other people been around you?
Some were good, and others didn't care. Like, they just didn't move out of the way, you know?
Yeah, because you were saying that to me the other day when we were chatting. You were saying that sometimes when you're walking along, people don't step out of your way.
Yeah.
And that's challenging.
It is, you know.
And so what advice would you give to somebody who's listening to us right now on the radio who doesn't have a visual impairment and who may have very little experience of dealing with people with disabilities? What would you say to them?
I would advise them to come and if they want to have a conversation, they could talk to me on it and I would support them.
Okay, so you don't really mind people asking you questions around your disability?
That's fine.
You've no problem with that?
No.
Excellent. Well, that's good to know. I suppose people are, generally speaking, are kind of afraid to approach people with disabilities because I suppose they feel like they're going to get a negative response. But from your point of view, you're quite open to chatting about different things.
I'd be only delighted to come in and give a talk of the day, like.
Excellent. So, Eimear, the future is looking bright. You still want to be doing your work in rehab care reception, and you're still doing your work with Penny Dinners, a very worthwhile organisation, and still enjoying the independent living?
Very much, I really am, yes.
Yeah, life sounds like it's good. And listen, Eimear, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me this afternoon. I really appreciate it. And I wish you nothing but fantastic things, because you're an incredible lady. And I have to say, I always love our conversations. So thanks very much for taking the time to talk to me, Eimear.
And I'd like to say a big thank you for your call. And thanks for coming to do this for me.
Oh, my pleasure, Eimear. And look, I'll speak to you again very, very soon, all right?
All right.
Take it easy. Bye, Eimear.
Bye-bye.
And that was Eimear McCarthy there from Rehab Care in Cork. I have to say, a really nice friend of mine, and I have to say, I always find her really inspiring, because there's no end to what the girl can do when she puts her mind to it. And, you know, it's the same for everybody else. If you put your mind to something and you want something to happen, it will happen. You just have to have a little bit of faith in yourself. Anyhow, we'll take some more music and we'll be back to you in just a couple of seconds. The fantastic sound there of Mr. Ollie Murray's And Dance With Me tonight. And I'm hoping that we're going to be doing that in the Macro Centre at 6:30 to 8:30 tonight. And of course, Mary Hartney is going to be talking to me in about 15-20 minutes about what is going to be happening in the Macro Centre later on. But before all of that, joining me now by phone, I've got Owen Cullum, who is the chairman of Greater Dublin Independent Living. Hi, Owen. How are you doing?
Hi, Rona. I'm doing well. Thank you.
How are you doing? It's nice to be chatting to you. All well? All well?
All's well, yeah. I just came in from a meeting about direct payments. Well versed.
Perfect. Perfect timing and perfect segue into it. Okay. So, direct payments. It's always a hotbed of topic, I think. People are always very fascinated to know about it. And you and I did touch on it in February at the very, very beginning when we started doing the show. So, you're heavily involved in direct payments. So, tell me exactly what it is. What are direct payments and how does it work?
Well, the direct payments are something that... there's something that we don't have really in the Republic of Ireland, but are quite common in other countries.
Mm.
It's the payments that people with disabilities get in order to pay for their PA service, or in some situations, the things they need to manage their own lives, their wheelchairs, and other products as well.
Mm.
But the direct payment from the HSE to the individual with the disability. It's the simplest way to explain it.
Okay. And Owen, tell me, when you're saying it's not very, it's not really that much in the Republic of Ireland, talk to me about those who are involved in it in Ireland, in the Republic, and how did that come to be about?
Well, in 2011, we put a project into Genio to pilot a direct payment kind of policies around it and try and see if it would work here. But we put a lot of safeguards in place and they allowed us to pilot a direct payment as long as it was set up under a limited company model. That would mean that you would have to set up a company, you would have to have a secretary, a directors, policies, procedures, and then you would need a broker to get your direct payments into your bank accounts, and then you would manage that payment just for your PA service. But that happened about 3 years ago.
Right.
We're through the pilot phase, and now we have 15 members throughout the country managing their own service through a company model of direct payment.
And so why, on a personal note, Owen, did you decide that you wanted to use this system?
Well, I wanted to research it first initially, and then I found by being involved and by being closer to the resource, the more knowledge I would have of how payments from the HSE affect all our lives. And I felt that service providers usually act in their own self-interest and send letters to individuals on the changes that they already are aware of And in my situation now, I'm quite aware of the kind of developments which happen directly impacting my budget, like a cut in the disability service will have immediate effect on me. I won't have to hear it secondhand from a service provider.
Okay.
Plus, there's a cost effectiveness to it because I manage the payment myself, do my own contracts, payments, and with the support of a few people, do the whole business side of it. So there's a cost saving involved there, so we can so give our PAs a little bit extra per se and stuff like that.
Excellent. So in a sense, you're kind of cutting out a middleman, really, because it's you're dealing with it, as you say, directly. And
yeah.
And you see the effects of the cuts directly yourself and the implications directly yourself. If somebody is listening to us at home at the moment and they're thinking it's a very, very complicated system and there are services under IWA or Centre for Independent Living, and they're thinking that they wouldn't be capable of doing this, what would your words be on that?
I would never say anyone wasn't capable. I'd say it's a challenge for anyone who would like to run a direct payment.
Mm.
But like myself, I found it quite challenging. But if you have, we've been trying to work together with a group called Oshin and Chakirta.
Okay.
To support people, and we would set up a circle of support around a person who would wish to have a direct payment. That would be your company model, where you would have friends and family and perhaps some professional people around you who would give up their voluntary time to help you set up your own company, to help you with payments, payroll, and then you would get some support from the Oshin and the Chakirta to help you set up your company and get it running as well.
Mm. So let's just say, I'll use myself as an example. Let's say tomorrow I decided that I wanted to get involved in the direct payments and I wanted to start doing this system myself as a person. What's the first step that I need to do?
The first step is to do a little bit of research, and I would advise people to perhaps think about, do a bit of research around what's it like to set up your own company, a limited company.
Mm.
And then you need to be ready for a little bit of work around that. Then think about the people that support you in your life. Think about if you really want it. Then contact the Oshin and the Chakirta, or look up their website, which is the atnetwork.com, and then approach them about your thought that you wish to have a direct payment, that you have some supports in place, that you would really like to see your future as managing your own service. So I'd say your first point of contact at the moment is the AT Network.
Okay.
And they, for instance, they can be contacted at, I think their current address is the Chase House in Malahide Road, Dublin 17.
Okay.
And if people wish to know their number, it's 01-525-0707.
So 01-525-0707.
Yep.
Fantastic. And so, Owen, if somebody is at home now and they're very interested in this, but let's say they're on a payment run, they're on a disability allowance, or they're getting some other type of pain, but mainly disability allowance, would that be affected?
No, not at all. This is a direct payment just for your... At the moment, we're concentrating on your direct payment that would be naturally held by a service provider.
Okay.
So you know all the service providers. They're all your IWAs, your Cheshires, your Communicare, your Bluebird Care would be a for-profit service provider.
Mm.
And instead of it going to a service provider, you would manage that budget yourself in a kind of collective way with a group of friends or individuals that would volunteer to help you manage that budget. And I think that's what we're trying to get across to people, that individuals do have budgets, and it's government's policy for people's budgets to follow them. So
it's an empowering experience, and, you know, gives you more control of using your own service and how you want the service to be used. But as you say, it's challenging.
And it is. Each individual owns their own service, and you're much more empowered when you actually realise that, when you do have access to the cash that is involved there, and you buy back those services from companies, or you employ people directly yourself, you realise that that's a more empowering experience than constantly just being given things and been told things by service providers. And it's quite challenging, because the old model is one where we've been told what to do, and where a lot of people are employed to tell us what's best for us.
Yeah.
And this model is like managing everything yourself. It's like the quite big changing experience then for people.
Absolutely. And a natural fear would be there as well, because, as you say, people are used to being employed to tell you what's best for you, and people are used to that kind of system, and this is a new way of thinking and being around it. Owen, if people want to get in contact with you to chat about this further, can they do so?
They can do so. I'd advise them to have a think about it themselves.
Yeah.
Have a think about what running a limited company means.
Right.
Think about the people in your community that would support you in setting up a company to manage your service. And then also make contact with, have a look at the 18network.com website, which explains a lot,
and
which will be developed over the coming months. And there will be a lot of interactive tools there for people with disabilities as well. So any leader which genuinely interested in doing this approach, it should be available to them, but it takes quite a time to set up, and nothing will be rushed.
How long, Owen, can that whole process take?
Well, that process can take up to 1 year, believe it or not. But initially is setting up the company, registering for revenue payments, registering your company, and filling out the documentation. And then the big issue is rerouting money from your current service provider to your company bank account. That can be quite challenging. So that is the big challenge. And sometimes you have to take 1 year for that service level agreement to finish in order to transfer the money next year. And there's always those little bits of complications there, but the important thing to note is it can be done. So
clearly, and it can be done quite successfully. I mean, you've had the service for a while, and you've been running your own service for quite an amount of time.
Yes, it's quite workable. Hopefully there will be, people would say, more simplistic ways, as in Northern Ireland and Sweden and other areas, there's probably a lot more simple models of direct payments available, like direct grants to people and sole traders models and micro boards, many other ways of doing a direct payment, which hopefully will be available to people in the future. But this model is up and running,
and it's working. It is working. It's just
working. That's the most important thing to know, that it's working even with all the complications to go with it, and it's developing, it's user-led, and it's developing user skills around running their own company. And then if the user has some skills which they would like to provide back to the company as trainers or as payroll administrators, then the company will promote that person with a disability in that role. So it's a good concept, really.
I think it's an outstanding concept. It's got nothing but the word empowerment attached all over it, and and the complete independent living model behind it as well. And yeah, I know it might take some time and it could be a steep learning curve, but I think one that's really worthwhile. If people do want to get in contact with you, Owen, it's okay for me to give out your number?
It is, yeah.
So it's
no problem. My number is, my mobile number is, in my role as chairperson of Greater Dublin Independent Living, is 087-2502953.
Mm-hmm.
But if you wish to contact me about direct payments, I'd be quite willing to speak with people as well.
Fantastic.
Hopefully we'll have some peer meetings in the future around this, so people would be invited to come along to a group meeting and we'll talk through the pros and cons of it there if I'm evening.
Absolutely. And that number again is 087-2502953. Owen, thanks very much for chatting to me this afternoon. And it is something that we're going to be doing in the GDIL monthly meeting in the next coming months. So thanks very much indeed for taking the time, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care. Bye,
Owen. Bye-bye.
Talk soon. Bye-bye. Bye, Owen. And that was Owen Cullum there from a Greater Dublin Independent Living, chairman of GDIL. And as Owen said, if you do want to get in contact with him, 087-2502953. And we will be running a meeting about this in the next coming months about direct payments and the direct payment scheme. Yeah, it can be challenging. Yes, it can be an uphill learning curve, but I think it's one that's definitely worthwhile. So if you want more information about that, you can get in contact with Owen on that. Of course, if you want to chat to me or make any comment about the programme today, you can do so on 087-6944-500. And in just a couple of seconds, I'll be talking to Mary Hartney. It's going to be very exciting. And that was You Two there and Invisible. And you know what? That's what this programme is all about. Not leaving yourself be invisible. Making sure that your needs and your wants are met as a person with a disability. And that's what we're here for. So if you are interested in getting involved with the direct payment scheme, Owen's number again is 087-2502953. So, you know, make sure that your voice is heard and that your needs and wants are being met, as that U2 song says. Now, joining me in the studio, I have Mary Hartney, who is joining me here. And yeah, I'm just making sure her microphone is up. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Rona.
How are you?
Good to be here.
Yeah, do you know, myself and Mary have been sitting here for the last hour. I think we've both been dancing. It's been fantastic, because that is the theme of the evening. Mary, what is happening in the Macro Centre at 6:30 today?
Well, this evening we are going to have an integrated dance class. And it's integrated in the sense that we'll have disabled and non-disabled dancers coming together to create and to perform dance and to have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, it will be a bit of a laugh. No, I have to say, it's always great fun when I'm doing some work with Spoken Dance. And Mary, of course, is one of the people who set up Spoken Dance with Lisa Cahill as well. And Mary and Lisa and Sultan and a couple of others, including myself, did some performances for Greater Dublin Independent Living at Christmas time for our Christmas performance, which seems like such a lifetime ago now. But the interest was there at the time. So it's going to be very exciting this evening, and a lot of laughs and good fun indeed. So if you are in the neighbourhood today and you're at a little bit of a loss and you're a person with a disability and you have always wanted to dance and thought, I can't. Well, actually, you can. And so it's 6:30 today until 8:30, and it's going to be a lot of laughs. Give people an idea, Mary, of kind of the things that we're going to be doing.
Well, we're going to start off with having some coffee and tea and a bit of food together, because there's, you know, there's a big social aspect to dancing. And so what we do is we challenge everyone in their movement. So, you know, whether you're disabled or non-disabled, you're going to be challenged to move in ways you might never have moved before. And we're going to be using some contemporary music, you know, up-to-date music. So it's fun and everybody's familiar with it. So what I do is I get everybody to maybe do, we have this game, it's called the name game, where we get everyone to do a sign to their name. And this can be so funny because, you know, there are some hilarious signs that people put with their names, such as maybe wiping their nose on their sleeve, which, yeah, sounds gross, but at the time it can be quite funny. So we encourage people, you know, to have a laugh, have a go and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, and you know the way some people think, oh, I don't have the body shape, or I'm not your standard dancer body, you know, physique and all that kind of thing. That goes out the window.
That's out the window with integrated dance because, you know, I think years ago people would have thought when they think of a dancer might have just envisioned a white, slim, skinny female dancer in a tutu. Those days are gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, now dance is for everyone. And I'm glad you can't see me now that I'm on radio because...
Mary.
I'm not the white, skinny female.
Well, do you know what? It doesn't matter what skin type you are. It doesn't matter if you're a guy or girl. You're, you know, whether you're able-bodied, disabled. This is about inclusiveness. This is about supporting everybody in the community. It's about fun. It's about dance. It's about laughter. It's about integrativeness. And it's about community. And it's really just about having a bit of a laugh and also seeing what your body is capable of doing, because believe me, when you're dancing integratively, you really do surprise yourself. Isn't it true, Mary?
That's right. And that's where I think where people stick with the dance, because they develop new ways of moving. Mm. And it's every class they come to, something new happens. Mm. They move, they come up with ideas with their non-disabled partners or whatever, things they've never done before, and the possibilities are endless. Mm. And I think that's what keeps people coming to integrated dance, because I've been doing it since 2005, and we have people in spoken dance. There's a girl called Deirdre Corrie, and she was the first person in a wheelchair in the door to my dance class, and she's still with us and she's still finding new ways of moving, and you know, she's really expanded her whole movement vocabulary, and she is just such fun to work with.
Well, as you know, and I know, I've been involved in integrated dance in different ways, shapes and forms for the last 20 years, and you know, it still surprises and delights me still to this day, whether we're working in a workshop or we're doing performance, and people's perceptions being shifted around integrated dance, whether they're watching it or they're taking part, and the joy that people get out of it is just, it's immense. So if you're in the Macro Centre area tonight on Green Street at 6:30 to 8:30, do come along. If you're sitting at home now thinking, there's no way I can do this, you can. And so don't be worrying or thinking that it's not for you. Just come along and try it and see and give a go as an experience, because I promise you won't ever forget it. Mary, thank you very much for taking the time to come in and chat to me today. And sure, let's boogie on down later on.
We'll boogie tonight.
Listen, it's nearly time for me to go here, but I just want to say thanks to Paul, as always, for his support here in the studio. And thanks to my guests, Mary Hartney, and to Owen Cullum as well from Greater Dublin Independent Living, and also for Emer as well, Emer McCarthy from Cork, chatting to me a little earlier on in the programme. Have a fantastic week. Enjoy yourselves, and I'll see you again next Tuesday. If you've any comments to make or any ideas or suggestions for further programmes, 0876944500. Again, 0876944500. Have a fantastic week, and I'll talk to you all very, very soon. Take care. Bye-bye.